Hello, it's Wednesday, August 23rd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're glad everybody's tuning in today. We're going to start off with a little bit of fluff news. The latest poll came out yesterday and listed the top 10 party schools in America for 2006. Number two on the list was Penn State University, which we live about 2 miles away from. And even though it's quiet around here now, the kids are going to all move back in next week. And if you'd be around here on a football Saturday, I'll bet you'd think it's number one in the party schools because this place gets out of control. The number one party school was the University of Texas down in Austin. I've heard a lot of stuff about that place, too. So that's what's going on in the fluff polls in this country. We have on as our guest today Mr. Bill Brumbaugh. He appears monthly, and Bill's been having a little bit of computer problems. He's also proud to announce that starting at the beginning of next month, he's going to begin a new independent radio show. We think that's a very good direction that he's going in. And today we're going to talk with Bill about the war, or I should say multiple wars, the economy, foreign policy, crime and pop culture, the media, and whatever else comes our way. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Bill Brumbaugh to Wing TV. How you doing, Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Well, thanks for having me up, people. I really do appreciate it. And I know, Victor, you and Lisa are definitely a thorn in people's sides.
Yeah.
What gives you that idea?
I get so much, stay away from these guys. And it's like, you know, you guys always put out great information. Your book, 911 Evil, is the Bible on conspiracy involving 911, and I read it, and it's really wonderful. So it's like, it's like all these people say you guys are this or that. You know, I think they're the provocateurs that they bought into the mainstream evangelical lie.
Well, we thank you for that, Bill. And to start off here, let everybody know how they can find your website, and also tell us a little bit about your new radio show and the last two shows that you were on. It seems like last few months you've been bouncing around a little bit, so fill us in.
Okay. Well, the fact is I'm going to start a new radio show based upon archival. I mean, it's going to be like you guys. I'm going to put it up, post it on the web, and people can access it for 24 to 48 hours. I'm not certain on which way I'm going to go yet. And they'll get it for free after that. Well, there might be some payment involved. I'm trying to figure all that out, and it'll be dynamite stuff, though. I've got so many shows archived already. Olaf Hagee, a great, brilliant man. Tex Mars, I've got a whole bunch of people that I've got on that have been putting out news for years now. And it's like, Tex, I don't like him because he's an evangelical, but he does put out important, vital information about the Jews. And it's like, I got a lot of comments about his shows, because I had done these live initially. And the fact is, you know what, I'm really concerned because I think the Jews are in deep trouble. It's not I worship them, it's not I love them. The fact is that the Zionists have placated the Jews to the point where they're going to be brought up in another Holocaust scenario. I'm really concerned about it because I'm really afraid that it's going to lead to the Holocaust, which never happened and never will happen, but it's part of Bible mythos. So it's like I'm so jazzed about things that I can do. Because previously on the previous shows I was on, First Amendment Radio and Truth Radio, I was censored. And it was like, it was interesting how I would put out great shows, and then all of a sudden, well, we didn't get a bill. Can we do yesterday's show? And it's like, oh, man. And I'm sick of that. And you guys gave me a clue on the viability of doing this stuff independently and autonomously, and having total control myself.
Yeah, we think it's a step in the right direction. I'm glad you mentioned Tex Mars, because I just did an interview with him yesterday, and I guess it's going to appear the first week of September on his show. And we think the world of Tex. We think he really puts out some good info. So anyways, it's proactivenews.com, Bill. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And we think it's definitely a step in the right direction. Take control of your information, and then put it out there and let people see it. So let's get started here by talking a little bit about the amount of dissent there is in the nation of Israel right now. There's a lot of headlines, a lot of articles coming out. Israel lost the war. Their invulnerable army, their army that can't be defeated, didn't win this latest invasion of Lebanon. And a lot of people in the military are saying how they handled it horribly. There's a sense of desperation. There's a very tenuous ceasefire that could break at any minute. And Bill, when people get desperate, like it seems they are in Israel, they take desperate measures.
I think the ceasefire is still going on.
Well,
it lasted about 6 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, they still call it a ceasefire, even though, yeah, it's been broken many, many times. But when people get desperate, Bill, they take desperate measures. What do you think is next on Israel's plate?
Well, I think the Sun-Times Las Vegas newspaper put it well. Israel, no plans to end Lebanon blockade. The fact is they've killed people in Lebanon at better than a 30-to-1 rate. Now, again, they keep saying, well, we're trying to defend ourselves, and yet there's been so many people, including a Pulitzer Prize winner. I don't have his name in front of me because I've, you know, just got my motherboard reinstalled. I got a new motherboard, and it's like, but the fact is we had a Pulitzer Prize winner say that Israel was actually setting off the rockets themselves, that this was all a fake and fraud. If indeed Lebanon had the rocket capability they claimed to, they could have killed many more people. But instead they shot in unarmed, unoccupied areas. And again, his assertion was is that Israel was actually shooting these things themselves. They would kill a few people, but if indeed Lebanon was a power that people are afraid to be exposed, if indeed Lebanon was the gigantor that the news media claims, they would have killed at least as many people as Israel, yet they maintained the 30-to-1 kill ratio the Israelis have over Lebanon. It's like, I don't understand how people can continue to buy the lie. The Lebanese were well within range of major populated areas, and yet they shot them into largely unpopulated areas. And it's like, you know, we've got Prime Minister Ehud Olmert on Tuesday turned around and said Israel has no plans to lift its air and sea blockade of Lebanon. Well, that means they're going to continue to bomb the hell out of Lebanese.
You're right.
I think that probably by the time they're done here, according to what Olmert has said, I think they'll probably have about a 50-to-1 kill ratio.
The United States gave Israel the green light to engage in this slaughter and continued attacking of Lebanon. And now it looks like Bush has announced a new $180 million in humanitarian aid to Lebanon, which I guess is brings it to a total of over $230 million. Also, he's asking Congress to extend loan guarantees to Israel to help that nation rebuild. How much is he wanting to give to Israel now, in addition to what they already get in free money from the United States? And why should we give them anything? They instigated the whole thing.
Well, they've instigated the whole thing, and I would say probably in the billions of dollars. Whatever they publicly claim, I believe that they probably manifest in about a 10-to-1 ratio.
God almighty.
So I'm really concerned about it because it's like the Middle East is totally aflame right now about the attack on Lebanon. By the way, we've got 30% of the Lebanese populace, I believe, according to reports I've seen, that is Christian. Why the hell are we bombing the crap out of Christians, and why the hell are we doing this stuff in Iraq? Why are we bombing Afghanistan? Because I think the whole thing is to set the Middle East aflame so that eventually, when we're ready, Israel can unleash its nukes, the U.S. will back it up, and I think we're going to have vast devastation come out of this. I really do.
You know, that's a good point you made about the bombing of the Christians. Now, it was just announced today that the Marines are involuntarily recalling 1,200 troops right now, more to follow. They're going to be on active duty over in the Middle East. George Bush has said that we aren't going to leave Iraq while he is in office. John McCain, who might be the front runner in 2008, who might get the GOP ticket, says we should send even more troops to the Middle East. Now, I have a buddy, Visigoth, who does a radio show. He says this is the exact scenario of Vietnam. Eisenhower, the Republican, starts it off on a very small scale. Then the Democrats come in, and not as much Kennedy, but certainly Lyndon Johnson, and escalates it through the roof. But we're seeing the blowback. Joe Lieberman lost. An Alaskan candidate for the GOP lost in his primary. Bill, are we Is this the front end of Vietnam, and all we're doing is waiting for this big spike event, and then all hell breaks loose?
I think that's exactly the truth, but what did Lieberman actually lose? You know, again, the news is reported he's running as an independent, and yet it's on Fox and also on CNN as well as CBS. The Lieberman's going to run as an independent Democrat, and he will probably win because there's vast forces behind him, and the fact is there's not a mouse fart's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats are letting the Republicans run with it. They're letting them stick their necks out, and they plan on chopping it off at the appropriate time. But my question is, can they do that with Bush? I mean, Bush recently put out a missive saying that anybody who does not agree with him is the enemy. That scares the hell out of me.
Yeah,
I mean, that is dictatorial mandates that this guy is espousing.
What do you think about this JonBenet Ramsey case?
And before you answer...
It's interesting how the news took such a radical turn towards it. Here's the guy who killed JonBenet, and now they're muddying the issue by taking statements from the family saying, hey, this guy wasn't even there, and I don't believe he was there. I think that this whole thing from day one has been a government cover-up. They had a lot of stuff on so many people, and they didn't report any of it. Now they're starting to leak out little bits, but, you know, it's 10 years past the day, and people have a short-term memory.
What do you think they're covering up?
I mean, well, I think she was a government sex slave, very possibly.
You know what, Bill? I think, well, there's people in the Patriot Movement that are saying, oh, well, this is just a distraction, this is a diversion. I think this JonBenet case was very, very important 10 years ago, and I think it's very important right now for the precise reason you said, that there was a lot more going on with this case.
Sure seems like it.
A wealthy family. She was a chronic bedwetter, which is definitely a sign that something's going on. The different gynecological examinations on her, the beauty pageants at 6 years old. Bill, there's something definitely going on, and it's like the people that did it are slamming it into our faces again 10 years after the fact.
And they're focusing on this Clark character, and the guy is a non-entity.
You're right.
This is a distractionary story that is meant to point other directions during a critical time when we need to be hearing about Iraq, when we need to be hearing about Lebanon, when we need to be hearing about Afghanistan, and the anger, righteous anger, that has been evoked by the Arabic and Muslim world.
Yeah.
What do you think is happening with the Iran negotiations?
Well, I think the Iran negotiations, I think we've got to hit them. When I say we've got to hit them, that's a Bush mandate. It's like when we had to hit Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction, which, according to the FBI, never manifested themselves. Never, ever. You know, now we're almost 5 years plus into the scenario, and the fact is we're going to hit Iran to manifest further anger by the Muslim world. Now, it's not just the Muslim world. You know, it's like the Rand Corporation came out with a huge report last week, and I have not been able to put too much out on it because I can't find too much talking about the container ship issue. If there was a nuke in Long Beach, and I fought the Long Beach issue hand and foot. I mean, I was on ABC, NBC, CBS, I was on everyone commentating on exactly what the Rand Corporation now has made manifest as real, the fears of nuclear devices being in those container ships. You know, I'm not as concerned about the nuclear devices as I am biological weapons, because out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, we shared everything we had with 13 nations, including Iraq, Iran, all the nations that supposedly are Muslim-dominant and Muslim-dominated and that are pissed at us. I don't think they have to set off a nuke. I think biological warfare is much more likely. But the Rand Corporation focused on nukes. Everybody's afraid of the Big Bang. You know, when we look at the FDA and things like that and the horrible atrocities they have visited on us, it's like, to hell with nukes, I'm much more concerned about biological. But most people don't give a darn about biological. Mm-hmm. The fact is they're killing us with chemicals on a moment-by-moment basis on a daily agenda, and people don't seem to be paying attention.
And I'm glad you referenced that article about the nuke in Long Beach, because I used to live right over the bridge
I used to live right down there, too.
Yeah, right down in San Pedro. And I think that article did a good job of showing what would happen, and we're totally unprepared for it. And going back to the military, before I ask the last question, when we're calling up these reservists or these people, these 1,200 new Marines, a lot of people are saying this shows the wear and tear on our military and the severe damage and the severe risk that America is in right now because everybody's overseas and nobody's protecting this country. So, Bill, what I want to ask you, though, is there's been talk lately about what's called a unity or a unification party for 2008. Some people are saying Joe Lieberman might get the ticket for it. What I see here is a wedge party that could go either way depending on which way they lean, kind of like Ross Perot in 1992. Even though I liked him, what he did really was get Bill Clinton in office by taking votes from George Bush, who I certainly didn't want in office. So what are your thoughts on something like a unification party? Would it just be controlled by the same people that control the Republicans and Democrats?
Well, you just said it. That's a fact. The unification party is a bunch of crap. People universally across this nation are disgusted. But it's like the people that have voted Republican for years are going to vote Republican. The people that have voted Democrat for years are going to vote Democrat. And the fact is, the unification party will simply be a vote-stealing party designed, according to the media, to allocate whoever they want to be in office in office. You know, I don't really think that George W. Bush lost the election. I think the whole thing was a scam and sham by the media to see Bill Clinton in office.
Yeah.
And it's like, now it'll be Hillary Clinton this time. And it's like the dangers of Bill and Hillary back in office are paramount, but they're still fractional compared to George W. Bush. And it's like, I think that we're probably going to see some major terrorist event take place here quite soon. Because it's like you see Newsweek, you see the newspapers, all of them are focusing on terrorism. The terrorism that was generated recently by the British government, they're gonna take our airports, they're gonna take our planes, they're gonna use them against us. What a load of crap! The liquid explosives is so much piss.
It is.
Excuse my language. It's like I don't understand how people can continue to buy the lie. You know, but it's amazing. All the substances that they said could be used, home substances to generate bomb-making materials and stuff, they're available at the airports. So it's like all you do is go through the security check and buy this stuff again at the airport. What I mean, it's just amazing to me how programmed the people of this country are, and in particular the mainstream evangelicals. You know, we had Hagee who put together all together 32 million signatures, although 2 million turned out to be duplicates. People so much wanted to join the Israel only, back them to the hill, do whatever they say because they're the first chosen, they're the first generation of Christians, and that's so much nonsense. It just amazes me. And Hagee and the evangelicals are all getting in complete line with it. And I can't understand the mentality of America.
Bill, do you see Iran backing off its uranium enrichment?
Well, possibly. I don't know, because it's like we have killed hundreds of thousands of them, more probably since the first Persian Gulf War. The lingering curse of depleted uranium has pretty much made that whole area of the world completely uninhabitable. And I think my main thing is not Iraq backing off of. I think it's basically what America, what the world government, and what the world court is going to allocate. And I think they're going to give vast amounts of land based upon the, I think it's the I-69 and the I-35 to the Middle East because that area is uninhabitable. You know, I know for a fact that the number one question for many years in the Middle East was when they have a child, is it a boy or a girl? The number one question now, is it normal? And the fact is most children are not normal. They're born under the guise and under the auspices of depleted uranium, and they're in deep trouble. I think we're going to see the World Court award vast acreage of land here in America to the Iraqis.
And, Bill, we posted some grisly photos last week.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about Iran. Do you see Iran backing
off? No, I do, but The fact is, I think all that's going to get crossed over and be reallocated according to Iraq. I think Iran, I don't know, because the Russians appear to me to be the main source behind that, and they're definitely aligned with U.S. policies. So I think Iraq and Iran are about the same agenda. I don't think we can afford to hit Iran globally and not see a major repercussion. And I think the fact is that before that happens, I have a feeling the world court's going to step in, Kofi Annan, the UN, a company like that, and award vast amounts of land to Iraq. And as a result, I think it'll cause a second thought to come about, and I think it'll cause the U.S. to say, oh my goodness, what have we done? And I think the true education of the people will take place during the Iran controversy, and it'll be about Iraq. I don't think we're going to get there. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, we posted some photos last week on the children born under the effects of depleted uranium, and it takes a strong stomach to look at those photos. Now, Bill, you've done more than anyone, I think, to cover the coming, or maybe we're already in the middle of it, housing bubble burst. It was just reported today that new home sales dropped 4.1%. There's a big meeting out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this weekend where there's a battle inside the Federal Reserve. Should they raise interest rates again to fend off inflation, or should they leave them where they are to keep economic growth going? I've talked to people that live in some of the hot states where the housing bubble was growing enormous, and they're saying it's awful there right now. Houses sitting street after street unsold. Where are we in this bubble burst? Is it a soft landing, or is it going to pop hard?
No, I think it's going to be a hard crush. I think that I have a relative right now who owns a house in Las Vegas, right outside Las Vegas, and thought he was going to get about $300,000 for it. The offer he got, and it was a good offer, was less than $220,000.
Wow.
And he said, wow, that's a tremendous loss. I can't understand it. But the fact is, I think the housing bubble is underreported, and I think it's all being manipulated. The fact is that although we're seeing a mass of people move from L.A., particularly white, yuppie, middle-class people, and head to areas like Bozeman and places like that in mid-America, the fact is I really don't think that we can maintain the housing prices. My ex-wife owns a house in Belgrade, Montana. It has practically doubled in value. But now, according to information I got, it's dropped radically. People don't have the money to buy the houses, and the housing industry has to make that adjustment if they want to sell houses. So I think we're going to see a real horrible thing take place. And then we have also the government agenda of eminent domain.
Right,
now, that's really being important, much more important than the mainstream has reported, because there's a lot of people that are reporting that, again, where they want to sell a house, they're running into the eminent domain issue. Again, I've got a relative up here right now that is dealing with the eminent domain issue and finding out about property he owns that has fences around and things like that. It's such a mess that basically what you have to do, you have to hire the most high-priced lawyer possible, and so out of that, you lose your property. You lose the main value of your property through this eminent domain issue, which has caused a major number of people to lose tremendous amounts of value. I mean, you guys are aware of Katrina and what's going on there. The eminent domain issue is costing people tremendous amounts of money involving the property, and then after they go through the whole thing, they don't even own the property.
Right, it's all gone anyway. So.
Yeah.
Bill, what other stories are you working on?
Well, there's a couple huge ones. There's a giant one right now that I think needs to get out, and it's about a man who was arrested. He was a deported man, was actually a U.S. citizen when he was deported, and I think that's going to be the main issue. It's going to be, I'm pretty much confident this guy's going to be the new poster boy for Inigra. Of course, the fact is that while this guy was being deported, he was brought up on charges and deported for a major drug conviction. Now, it's interesting because there's no mention of the type, quantity of drug or anything, which I find very relevant. And they are going to, I think the news media is going to simply look past this, and I wonder whether or not this guy is a CIA mule. is a U.S. citizen. Because he was a drug user, he was a drug trafficker, and why the hell do we want these people in the country? You know, the fact is most of the people from Mexico that they're letting come up, they have been emptying out the prisons and sending them north. We have seen a dramatic increase in the instances of rape. We have major serial killers, but the media doesn't report that. The fact is they're crying and they're bleeding crocodile tears for the poor people south of the border that have not been properly treated by American authorities.
Well, let me stop you right. Yeah, let me stop you right there, because Pat Buchanan, some people love him, some people hate him. Obviously, Pat Buchanan could say more about the types of events we speak about. He chooses not to, but when it comes to a strong conservative voice, I think he's pretty reliable. He has a new book out about illegal immigration, and he was asked in a recent interview if he thinks that this the United States is in a state of emergency. Just let me read two real quick quotes to you, Bill, and I want you to comment. This is Pat Buchanan. If we don't get control of our borders and stop this greatest invasion in history, I see the dissolution of the United States and the loss of the American Southwest. Then he continues, I'm predicting that America will no longer be one nation, but more like the Roman Empire, a conglomerate of races and cultures held together by a regime. Those are strong words, Bill, and not a pretty picture of the future for America. What do you think?
Well, I believe Pat has some good things to say. I also think he has some important things to say, which he never said. I was a key person in Buchanan's campaign in the early 90s, and Bay and I used to talk regular, and I resigned because Pat, when he was interviewed about the voter fraud which took place in Virginia, Patrick Buchanan, folks, had 59% of the majority of people. They said, we've got a problem right now. This was on ABC, CBS, it was on NBC. I don't know if it was on CNN. I didn't get it at the time. And they took a break and they said, they came back and reported that instead of Buchanan taking 59%, that he only had 23%.
And the governor...
He was interviewed just a few days later on Larry King. Larry King totally understood what was going on.
Yeah.
And he asked him the big issue. He said, Pat, do you think you're a victim of voter fraud? Pat Buchanan looked Larry King right in the eye and said, absolutely. They looked at each other for about 15, 20 seconds. Larry King, who I don't like but is a very professional broadcaster, was waiting for Buchanan to comment. Buchanan didn't say anything. So I don't quite trust him. He says the right things, but I think he will bow to the agenda when the time comes.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it was so bad that the governor of the state even made the announcement and called Buchanan before this little announcement, because it was so overwhelming. And then the computers break down conveniently. They have a little news blackout, and then the news comes back on, and the results are flip-flop completely. And you're right. He's never spoken out about that, and he should.
Yeah, I think that he really let the people down. The Ross Perot group that he was brandishing as a tremendous weapon was a tremendous weapon. But between Perot and Buchanan, I think they destroyed, perhaps permanently, the viability of a third party.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, Bill, before we close out here today, give everybody once again your website address, and tell them about your upcoming radio show, which we're looking forward to.
Okay. Folks, I put out an email alert list. I think it's rather important because I notice there's a lot of comments on it. A lot of other people take off with it. I'll give you a two-week free trial. Then I'll demand the outrageous sum of $5 a month. $5 a month for the email. That is, simply send an email to bill@proactivenews.com saying subscribe. bill@proactivenews.com. Now, I'm starting a radio show real soon. It's going to be archived only. You'll be able to access it 24/7. I know it's going to take a lot of time and growth to build it to the positive agenda that I want, but the fact is most Patriot Radio is fake and fraud. Most Patriot Radio is totally a setup, and I want you people to take advantage of me. Send the information out and about, and that's going to be, it's right now on proactivenews.com, and I'm building a new website already, billbrumbaugh.com, which will quite soon also relate to proactivenews.com. You can get on there either way by putting in the name Bill Brumbaugh, B-R-U-M-B-A-U-G-H, or simply by going to Proactive News. And I just hope and pray that we make a real impact, because I think it's time to make an impact. And, folks, I don't put out popular fluff stuff. I put out the hardcore truth to the best of my ability. I don't claim to be always right, but I think the fact is I'm pretty good.
Bill, we've got war and death and destruction in Afghanistan, Iraq, possibly Iran coming. We've got Lebanon. We've got Palestine.
Gaza.
How do we stop this train? It's careening, and I don't know that we can stop it. Is there a way out?
I think there is, but I don't think we'll see it. I don't think it'll be manifest. The fact is, folks, we have to look at history. You know, I have a different theological perspective than most people do. I'm a covenant eschatologian. I believe that all prophecy was fulfilled in 70 A.D., very unpopular among the mainstream evangelicals. They call us heretical. But the fact is, we do not worship Israel. We don't follow them. And we tell the truth to the best of our ability. I think that's the way. We just got to keep on, you guys and some of the other, the handful of people that are telling the truth. We're making radical changes in the eschatology of America, and I hope and pray we continue to do so.
The question is, how high on the priority list is the truth with the United States government?
It's not high on the priority list at all. As a matter of fact, the lies are what they endorse. But the fact is, if indeed we can keep this up and keep telling the truth, sooner or later it'll break through. I think America is going to crash. I think it's going to fall totally. But what is the reconstruction of America going to entail? And I think that's the critical issue. And I think we can only achieve it by looking at ancient covenant eschatology and discerning what is the truth. And it's like it's there. And a lot of people are telling it. It's just it's not broadcast or communicated at all through the mainstream.
Yeah. Well, Bill, there is a little bit of good news. I read yesterday that newspapers across the country, these are mainstream newspapers, continue to lose money. Their ad revenue is dropping. They're getting thinner. I know our local newspaper is almost onion skin thin. That's how little revenue they have. People are turning away from the mainstream news and increasingly looking to other sources. What do you think is going through the minds of this small cabal that controls America's newspapers? They know they're losing it. What are they going to do?
Well, I think they're going to pull something radical like a major act of terrorism, which is a primary motivation and institution which seems to keep gaining strength. Again, when they ran the news articles recently about all the terrorism that took place, I think that was a total load of crap. But the people bought it, according to what I see represented in the mainstream news. I don't really think they did buy it, but the fact is, it's an easy way to terrify people. Everybody wants to be safe and sound, and they're willing to keep Bush around as long as they can be so. It's very unfortunate, but that is the dominant attitude and the predominant disposition, which seems to be ruling this country.
The always entertaining and informative Bill Brumbaugh, ProactiveNews.com. We'll have Bill again next month for his monthly appearance. Hopefully his new show will be up by then. I know we're going to check it out. And we're glad you're going independent, Bill, and we're glad that it's going to be archived in such a way that you can tune into it any time that you want to.
Bill, good luck with your new show.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to be back tomorrow on Wing TV. We're going to talk about the cover story of this week's Time magazine, Hillary Clinton. It says on there, lover or hater. I already checked the box, hater. So we're going to talk about this article in Time magazine. Friday, we're going to have Jim Condit Jr. on to talk about his latest DVD. So we'd like to thank Bill once again, ProactiveNews.com. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.